Good evening, each one here this evening. Glad to be here and worship with you. I probably know a number of yous by face, some by name, and some not so well. Coming from the Milton area, we started a church there. It's been about a year and a half ago now, Hepburn Street. Right in the town of Milton, and so we're still getting used to that area. So I was driving down 35 here. I must say there's quite a few memories that came back, and I probably still feel a little more at home here than I do east of here, but time moves on, as Marcus said, and God has new things. I was in... Impressed to hear the devotions in the children's class. Both of them are a springboard of probably what I need to talk or what I was going to bring this evening. Devotion is talking about God creating us. What are we here for? Then one of the last verses he brought up was. Same one I was going to talk about, being ambassadors for Christ, but what are we here for tonight? Why are each one of you here? Why does God place you where He does? And then the children's class just talking about looking ahead and doing what God wants you to and turning the other cheek. Tonight I wanted to bring... We'll talk about non-resistance. Now you might wonder what that has to do with the devotions. But I think as we realize what God has us here for, we are here to worship God. We are here to live for God. We are here to tell others about God. This thing of non-resistance is going to come a little easier. I'd like to bring it down to our level here tonight. Man, when I think of non-resistance, my mind always goes back to, couple different of the wars, and people were drafted, and you applied for your CO status, and you're non-resistant. We think of going to war, we're non-resistant. We don't fight. We don't go out and kill one another. Non-resistance, the definition of that is the principles or practice of passive submission to authority, even when unjust or oppressive. I just want to look at a little more maybe in the fact of resistance or long-suffering. Long-suffering has the thought of long and patient endurance of offense. Can we bring this down to our practical level here tonight? I don't know that any of us are being drafted for war. None of us are being pushed to go to war and being called to that. I want to start with John 18, verse 36. This is Jesus when he was in Pilate's hall. And Pilate is talking to him. Jesus said, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Are we part of that kingdom of Christ tonight? The other, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, which the devotional leader read that already. "Now then are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We are here tonight as ambassadors of another country. We have our citizenship in another place. And as we go about our work, as we go down the road, as we... whatever we do, we need to remember that we are not here for ourselves, but we are here living for another country. We are here living for Christ. You know, as I was talking about war and the people that had to suffer going through that, need to do VS work for that. You know, we never know if that could change, but that's not That's not what we're facing here today. How do we live this out today? How do we live out being long-suffering? How do we live out being non-resistant to those about us? Is it for us today? How can we practice being long-suffering? A couple other verses. 1 Peter 2, 20 to 23. I have a number of verses tonight. You don't have to feel like you need to turn to them all, but 1 Peter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We have an example here tonight of someone we can follow that did not revile, did not get back at people that did him wrong. And that is Christ. Christ is someone we all want to be like tonight. He suffered a lot more than you and I ever have. And it's just our perfect example, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Romans 13, 3 and 4. So I was thinking of, you know, the government. God calls us to obey the government. God calls us to do what the government asks. Romans 13, verse 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt appraise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now right along with that, God asks us to obey the authority. God asks us to obey the government as long as it doesn't violate his commandments. In Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles said we ought to obey God rather than men. We can obey the government up until it violates what God has for us in his word. And being non-resistant, going to war is one of them. How can we practice this today? It needs to start in our thought and our speech. The thought of being long-suffering, the thought of being non-resistant. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 14 to 18. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother of need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, it's talking here about not hating our brother. It's talking here about loving our brother. Verse 15 talks about he that hateth his brother is a murderer. It is just as wrong to hate someone today as it is to kill someone. Christ is wanting our hearts. Christ is wanting us to, for this to come out of our hearts. It's not just an outward thing. We need to love our brother. We need to love our neighbor. In verse 18, we also show up by our actions if we say we love someone. We aren't supposed to just love in word. It's about like the somewhere else it talks about, you know, someone having need. Well, verse 17 talks about that. A brother had need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. Another place it talks about, you know, go be ye warmed and filled. Well, if we aren't going to do anything about it, it means nothing. We need to do it in our actions also. But I just want to talk think a little more about this thought life. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Doesn't it start with that little root of, oh, it can be anything. It can be jealousy. It can be pride. It can be, but this little root of bitterness, this little root of disliking someone, that's what we like to call it. You know, we don't really like this person. But how easily it can turn into a root of bitterness. It can turn into something that goes a lot further, something that we wish that person wrong. We wish that person bad. And it will drag us down. It will defile us. It will drag us down spiritually. And God will not have his blessing on that. We need to get rid of that. We need to have a thought life that promotes love and care for one another. Doesn't this all come back to non-resistance today? I'm probably going to go back and forth a little bit from the brother in the church and our neighbor. But Christ doesn't differentiate between our brother in the bench beside us and our neighbor. We can love the person close to us, and we can do with our neighbor what we want to. We need to love each one. We need to have a heart of compassion. We also need to be resistant in our walk of life. This goes a little more over to our neighbor, Mark 12:29-31. Maybe this is where it catches us a little bit more. Maybe for myself, that's where, you know, someone I don't know, someone that I meet on the street, someone that I meet on the road, I can get angry at that person because I don't know them. Mark 12:29-31. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked him, which is the first commandment of it all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Christ is saying here, the second commandment, first, of course, we know is to love God. Love him with all our heart. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, there's not too many people here that despise themselves. Sometimes we wish we were somebody different. We wish that, God would have gave us a little different mannerism or character. But most of the time, we like ourselves pretty well. And God's saying, that's how you treat the man that you meet on the road. That's how you treat the person that you come in contact with. According to Luke 10, that neighbor is anyone that I see. That is anybody that I come in contact with. The Good Samaritan. You know, as we think, in the Old Testament times, God used Israel to punish the evil nations. God used his people to punish others. The Israelites, when the Israelites were obeying him, they fought and conquered many different nations. But we see when Christ came, that changed. He brought a new dispensation of non-resistance. Matthew 5, going to the Sermon on the Mount. I want to read a few verses out of there. Jesus talks about this. Can't read them all, but I want to read verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Then I want to drop down to verse 38. All down through there, there's a number of verses. One up further, it talks about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 38, that's the verse there. I was looking up a little further, but you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that borrowth of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus is asking us to love not only those that love us, not only those that do good to us, but also those that take advantage of us. Jesus taught us we need to love our enemies, bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. That doesn't leave a whole lot out. Love them, bless them, do good, and pray for them. Have you ever wished that you lived in the Old Testament times? But God, there again, is looking for our hearts. God wants us to show His love to those about us. The love that He is giving to us, He wants us to pour out on those about us, even if they don't deserve it. He is not giving us room just to love those that love us. You know, that's what everybody else in the world does. If they know they're going to get a big gift in return, they're going to give a big gift to someone. But if you're a Christian tonight, you're going to be different. You know, I have to think of in business. Someone does you wrong. Someone rips you off. Someone does something that's not right. What do you do about it? You know, I think it's when we have many rights in this world today. And we have a right in the world's eyes to get even with someone that has taken money from us, someone that hasn't given us money that's supposed to. We have a right to do that in the world's eyes. But when you walk away from that, isn't that when everybody else is going to stop and look up? So they're going to stop and say, you know, this person got something different. When we walk away from that, that's when Christ can be honored. When that angry feeling of injustice from things that were done to us want to come, that's the moment to stop and consider what God would want us to do. You know, it's so unfair. It wasn't right. Life isn't fair. They didn't keep their promise. You know, I just go back to the thing of, isn't this part of being non-resistant? You know, there's a lot of people about us, whether it's in the church tonight, whether it's the person you're going to meet tomorrow, there's a lot of people that can hurt us. Some intentionally do it and some not intentionally. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. The Bible is just full of verses that show us we cannot get even with people. We cannot do evil for evil. We cannot go and give people their dues. What does God expect us to do instead? And there's a number of things that you might think of when you think of what God wants us to do, but one of them is to forgive. What did Jesus do when he was there on the cross? When he was accused wrongfully? He was totally innocent of all the charges against him. Yet what did he do? Luke 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As I said earlier, Christ is our perfect example, and we need to forgive. I don't know why this is so hard for us, but I guess we're all human. You know, something I can struggle with is people on the road. You know, they cut you off, they pull out in front of you. We live pretty close to 80, and there's a truck stop right there. And I must say, invariably, there's a truck that's going to pull out in front of you, and you're going to have to hit the brakes pretty hard. And that didn't just make me pretty upset at times. But, you know, I don't know that person, but, you know, I can still feel bad when I get mad at them. But, you know, that's just the way it is. God expects us to forgive those that hurt us, to those that do us wrong. Our human nature wants to recoil against that and say that they need to pay for it. A couple verses in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 19 to 21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, did you ever think about that God hates that wrongdoing more than you do? But God is the one that's going to take care of it. God is going to give justice, and we need to be okay with that. We might never see when justice is given, but we need to be okay with that. We have a God that someday will make all wrongs right. We just need to make sure that we are living the way God wants us to, and that we treat people the way God wants us to treat people. Another thing on forgiveness, I want to look at Matthew 6, 9 to 15. That is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to say. I'll just read, I think, that whole prayer at this time. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It goes on. Yeah, verse 15 says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We are asking God to forgive us as we forgive others. When I stop and think of that, it's a sobering thought. Can I forgive those that have done me wrong? You know, time and time again, I need to ask God for forgiveness. I need to go to Him and say, you know, I got to do better. I need a change. And God's going to forgive us. We aren't going to hold people accountable to us for their wrongdoings. Rather, we're going to forgive them and allow God to work in their lives. Allow God to work in their lives and ours. You know, I have to think of, especially people that you know real well, how often they do something against you, you'll forgive them. They do something again, you'll forgive them. You know, after a while, this list starts getting longer. You know, this they did this and this and this, you know, but I've forgiven them. After a while, it gets long enough that, is that when that root of bitterness starts coming in? But do we want God to forgive us that way? You know, God has forgiven us, yet then when we sin, He's going to jump on us, you know. You did this and this and this before, why aren't you listening? But when we come to God and repent, it says that God removes our sin as far as from the east as from the west, and He remembers it no more. Now, that is not always humanly possible to forget what people have done to us. But it is possible not to hold them accountable for it. The longer that list of wrongs gets, the further we distance ourselves from people, the further down the pole they are, and the further we want to be away from them. Galatians 5, verse 22, 23. I want to talk just a little bit about long-suffering. Forgiveness, and then in return, we need to show long-suffering. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, is right in there with them. There's a number of other verses here. I think I'll just read quick. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul was talking here about being a sinner, being the chiefest of sinners, but Christ showed him long-suffering. And that's what Christ has done for each one of us tonight. Shown us long-suffering. And we need to pass it on. Paul is saying, needs to be a pattern of how we should live. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He was talking a little more about teaching people or preaching, maybe. But be long suffering with people. Allow them to grow. Allow them to read the Bible and grow in their journey with God. They don't have to be at the same place that you think you are. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So one last thing I want to talk about a little bit is, as we show our love for one another, it says it's going to cover a multitude of sins. I take those sins to be the pet peeves that people do against us. It also can be sins, it can be wrongs that they do against us, but we aren't going to hold them accountable to us for doing that. If we have this charity, if we have this fervent love, I'd say, is a great intensity of feeling. If we have a great love for one another, we'll be able to lay aside those offenses others have done to us. And when we forgive like God wants us to forgive, we will not only release them from their offense against us, but we will also turn around with the love that God has shown to us. We can, with a true heart, want what's best for them. Thank you.